It's July 7th, 2015, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live right now from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California. And by the way, at Lupin, clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, several spiritual perspectives, relevant musical selections, and as many surprises as possible, including the guests.
And music. Did you mention music?
Yes, I did, dear.
Uh-huh.
You weren't listening.
Uh-huh. Well, I was listening to the music, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Why don't you tell them who's sponsoring our show?
Well, Go Raw is our sponsor, for which we're very grateful. And you can find Go Raw at Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. And we'll be back later in our program to tell you more about Go Raw and why they're such a healthy, amazing, fantastic way to take care of yourself and to satisfy the need for something that tastes yummy. Go Raw. Rochelle looking at me like, you're supposed to say the word.
No, it's like, I thought I was going to say that.
You're supposed to
and
say
he started
the word.
Saying that.
What's the word for tonight?
Really?
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 Really? Really?
Really? And it goes on and on and on. The search for the real.
That's right. And that's what we're looking for always in our lives. What's real? You know, what is real? We have all these emotional experiences all the time that seem so real, but emotion is ephemeral. It comes and goes. It's almost like you can't control it sometimes. Like all of a sudden you're hot and bothered about something or thing that somebody did and just think it's natural. You don't question it or anything else until one day you do and you go, who's in charge here? My emotions? Or the real me.
Really?
Then you have to discover who the real me is. And are your emotions real or they go away like the clouds?
Really?
Really. The clouds are real when you see them, but then they're gone. They don't hang around for very long.
But it raises the question for me of how do you arrive at what is real? And how would you know it? What would you use as a criteria to even determine that something is real? And which part of your sensory thinking apparatus would be most reliable in terms of communicating to you what's real? For example, your senses, are they reliable? Are your perceptions going to be more reliable? Your thoughts about your perceptions? The thoughts and the memories that are triggered by your perceptions? It's very busy in there.
Really?
Really?
You have an evolving reality, just that we have an evolving everything else. Our physicality is evolving. But reality also evolves because it's relative to the place you're in. Our grandchild's reality is cooing and smiling and peeing and pooping and eating and, you know, her reality is very circumscribed, and she doesn't think much about it, I don't think. At least it doesn't appear to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's the inner workings of the brain are starting to do so many numbers and dances and exchange. And there's this whole molecular, anatomical, chemical level of our existence that is, in fact, the most of it, at least in terms of the physical existence. And yet we go along blithely in this consciousness for which most of that activity is unconscious.
Really? Don't you think that there's a moment in somebody's life, well, it can or cannot happen, I guess, when you ask, why am I doing that? Why do I act like that? Is that real? You're sitting and crying over some lost love or something and your heart is breaking and your whole body is convulsed and it feels real. And if you ask yourself at that moment, if you were prepared to ask yourself at that moment, is this real?
Really? again, I go back to what's the criteria and how would you know it if you came across it? What do we have as something that's authoritative that says this is real? I don't think you can have anything that would completely and utterly satisfy the mind.
Really?
But there are clues. And I like to think of the following.
Did you just answer your question?
I don't know. What was the answer if I did?
You just started to answer your question.
I did. But I don't really know the answer to that question as well as I'd like to. So I would like to bring on the guy I kind of count on for this kind of insight. Professor Umbry, could you come in and talk about what's authoritative?
Very challenging question, young man. That's been plaguing people for centuries, millennia. And that is, what can you depend on to be the authority for determining the directions you go in your reality and the reactions you have to it and the subsequent thinking that corrodes around it? And I use the word corrode around it markedly. But that's a subject for another conversation. But I will give you these three criteria because I think they're quite compelling in their authoritativeness. For the first one, I would refer to gravity.
Really?
Gravity. You heard me, and I say it with a lot of gravitas because gravity is very gravitasable. Well, I'd like to not keep it all. It's terribly heavy. But moving on now, the next thing I like to point to...
Well, you're going to not talk more about gravity?
That's the first of the three.
Okay.
All right, I'll keep the other two for later. So gravity is this pull between phenomena that continually is going on. One little secret they have about gravity that hardly anybody really thinks or knows or talks about, and that is it feels like the Earth is doing all the pulling. And that's gravity, the Earth drawing on us. But the actuality is we are actually pulling on the Earth. It's just so much larger that its pull seems like it's the only pull. But it's not the only pull. It is quite reciprocal.
Really? I didn't know that. How do we do that?
Just that's the phenomenon of gravity, this mysterious force. They can't really explain what it actually is. Nobody can really explain what is gravity. They just know it's a force, and they can measure it. They can measure its speed, by golly. That's a fixed thing there, the speed of gravity. So that becomes very authoritative. It's a fixed phenomena. But when we say the speed of gravity, in words it is fixed, but in actuality it's constantly moving because gravity is constantly at work pulling everything to itself as everything attempts to fly off somewhere else. And there you have it.
Really? It's not exactly simplistic.
Oh, you want simplistic? Hi, this is Norman here. I'll give you simplistic. I understand what the professor is saying. Think about it. You're with your honey, and you're clawing at each other, and you're, like, getting it on, and it feels really good. And, you know, you can argue that that's like gravity, you know, and it's like this urge to come together and mate and have a really good time. Oh, it's a powerful urge. And that would have been what I would think he was referring to. So anyone who's ever had that feeling toward the coupling like that, oh, yeah, I think that would be really a good sign. Where to look, at least, for what's real. Really?
Okay.
Well, thank you, guys. That was delicious.
I have a question that came up. Maybe it's a foolish question, and maybe it absolutely cannot be answered. You take a child that, let's say, is a second generation American from people who came from a totally different country, and the people that this child is descended from speak a totally different language. And had that child grown up in the parents' country, she or he would be speaking that language as well. But living in America, they speak American. If they were in Britain, they'd speak British. I'm wondering if a child was born on another planet, even though it's a human, born on a planet where the gravity was different, would it need to walk in an anti-gravitational kind of suit, or would it... be part of that gravity just by being born there. Isn't that provocative?
Well, if I might just interject here for just a minute, since you're talking about this life on this other planet, adapting to gravity on there, but it's the relationship between the mass, of course, that you're dealing with and the actual movement of life and this mysterious pull that's constantly happening. Pull, pull, pull. And so if you pay attention to what you're pulled toward, it's like going from back-wheel drive to front-wheel drive. Does that make it any easier?
Well, it doesn't answer my question at all.
And what was the question, my dear?
I was pondering that if a human baby was born on a planet that had different gravity than the Earth, would it adapt to that gravity? Or is there something in the molecular structure of humans that would not be able to do that?
You know, it's so real. It's real. It makes me almost like gone. I feel like I'm just real, real gone. So let's think about that while we really, really go. We'd be really gone. That would be qualify as a really, wouldn't it? Real would be really gone. That's how it connects with our word for tonight.
And who was that?
Well, of course, that was Van the Man Morrison. We haven't featured Van in quite a while, and he is such an amazing artist.
Definitely someone you like a whole lot.
And I didn't come to Van until late in life.
How late?
I was about way in the late latter part of the 9th century, I think it was 9th century A.D., and all of a sudden it was quite popular there, but then it decreased until I came on board. I don't know who that was.
Really? You become sillier than ever.
I don't know who that was. Or why
that was the silliest thing I've heard in a long time. What was that about? 9th
silliness.
Century.
Silliness abounds.
When Van Morrison was big.
No, not really?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's get back on track here because this is important.
That what we did just then, was that any more real than getting back on track?
I don't think so. The only thing that seems to be real is this sense of this ongoing presence that we call life. It's like the atmosphere. It's like this constant presence. We can get all caught up in our circumstances and our lives and hold on to those things with the hope that they're real. And if I hold on to them, keeping me going forever.
Really? Yeah, I guess that's why people do a lot of things to perpetuate their ongoingness. But that's still part of the reptilian brain. It's like, I do not want to die. I will do anything in my power to keep myself alive. And so you do that. We save the species constantly by staying alive.
Really?
Oh, that was nice the way you put that in there. It was a very lovely really.
That's the nice thing about really. It can be so many different things. But go ahead with your thought.
Really? I think what I wanted to talk to about real, once again, I'm aware that reality evolves with us, that we literally create our reality. Because things happen. We perceive it, and that becomes real for us. But we perceive it out of a whole bunch of stuff that has gone before that moment, that has made us who we are in that moment. The lens is by which we view any circumstances or any person. But it's real. You can't take the reality away from that at all.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Oh, just a minute. Rabbi's here. You have a comment to make about this subject, Rabbi. This is Rabbi Moshe Greenberg.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what it is the thing that you're looking for is what's real. Huh. People have been looking for that forever, right? But let me tell you this. There's really two things that are going on. What you think is real, that feels solid, that of course we know it isn't really solid. It's a lot, mostly space, a little bit of moving activity. So what's real is that there are patterns and relationships. That's all that's going on. And intelligence that fills it up with life and beingness. It's just patterns of configurations of existence moving around with light and time and space, having it like a little menage a trois, whoop, 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 like that.
Really?
And then when you jump on with your consciousness into that maelstrom of patterns and relationships coming together, moving apart, bumping, twisting, surrounding, spinning, everybody going round and round in circles or ellipses, whatever is your taste.
Really?
Really.
The way you describe it, for someone who's been here in this country a short time, your English is really good. I have to tell you that right now. Yeah, you articulate really well in English.
Well, I'm a third generation Jew. It's just that we all decided to keep the accent.
God, I can't believe I just heard that.
Wait, you're supposed to say...
Really?
Thank you. There we have it. Okay.
That was totally not really.
Speaking of really, I would like to take a little break. For the past few weeks of our show, we've been taking these little phrases and rolling them around in our consciousness to see what they lead up to. And they're so rich. And I really love them. And as I said in my email today to our listeners, these forays into the mystery have allowed us to look at things like believing, thinking, and now tonight's focus, realizing with the phrase, really. And in spite of the numerous distractions and demands of life, self-realization continues to be our number one goal.
Really?
Really. But I'd like to take you back into the past few weeks, and we're going to do a little riff, a little improv on the phrases, each of which was the sponsor or the active participant in our consciousness in the show. So you ready? There's 10 of them. We're just going to bounce them around and see what shows up. Here we go.
You ready yet?
You think?
I beg your pardon.
Really?
What did you expect?
Unbelievable.
Imagine that.
Who knew?
You sure?
Close.
Really?
There you have it. And we bring it around. Really? But I always think going after and trying to determine what is real is a good life exercise. Because if you're kind of living along and living your life and you get all involved in things and phenomena. Now, if it's all just happening, you're okay with it, it's fine. Whatever.
Well, they definitely wouldn't be listening to us.
Uh-oh. Come back, Shane! Come back! Remember that movie?
I do remember that movie.
A movie called Shane.
With Alan Ladd.
Yeah.
And what was the kid's name? Was...
If you know, call in, let us know. Send us an email at estrider@gmail.com.
Was it like Brandon? Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely let us know. Even if you don't do it tonight, let us know, because I won't be able to sleep now thinking about it. Really?
Really. You don't want her to not be able to sleep. I can tell you from my point of view, that's really true.
Mm-mm.
Because
Mm-mm.
if she doesn't sleep, she gets cranky.
The next day, not next while day. I'm not sleeping.
Right. No, she's very nice when she's not sleeping. I have to give her that.
Really?
Really. This is real. Did I say the Laughing Heart? Well, that's our parent organization, the Laughing Heart. We don't talk about it a lot, but the Laughing Heart is our other sponsor, because we believe that when the heart is laughing, it's just a healthier way to be. And so what we try and share with you, and the way we share it with you on our programs each week, is with a laughing heart, hoping you'll pick up the vibe and that some of these thoughts that we transmit through the mysterious zone that somehow gets to you all has something to say that might trigger some interesting association, awareness, question, or possibility.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like that.
And Go Raw is sponsoring us, making it possible. Did I say you can get Go Raw at Trader Joe's?
Yes, you did. You said that because that's usually my line. But nevertheless, go to GoRaw.com to find out where Go Raw is in your neighborhood. Not only that, but all the different kinds of wonderful things that they have are on their website. And you should know what they are so you can pick and choose in order.
So real, go real. When I think of go raw, I think of real, really, go really.
Really?
It's close.
Well, I'd like to go back to something you said before when you were describing tonight's program. You used the word self-realization.
Yes.
So self-realization, you know, like, and that once again is something that moves. It's not always stagnant, because once you have self-realization, what is it? What is to realize oneself? Because we are so changing all the time. What is the self-realization? When does it kick in? And is it real to the moment, or is someplace you have to get to?
It is the process itself. Because as we interact, make the exchange, talk about an authority of life, that everything is exchanging. That's a good hint of what the authority of existence is all about, exchanges. And as a result of those exchanges, there's interpenetration, and things are shared from one being to another. And as that process takes place, that being expands. So their consciousness and their awareness, their soul, if you will, the part of them that's not limited to the body but still continues our existence as an individual beingness that is gathering into itself more and more reality and expanding reality, literally expanding space and time outward as we interact with it. So we are, in fact, causing more space. But that really raises a question that I think is important, and that is about time. Do we have to be on time, and does anybody really know what time it is? Really?
As I was walking down the street one day, I can't imagine.
Does anybody know what time it
is? Time is relative, isn't it?
That was Chicago singing that.
Oh, I'm glad it was New York.
I was going to say that several cities applied to it. Denver wanted to be the name of the group. Houston wanted to be. Des Moines was also a city that wanted to be the name of that group. But they picked Chicago.
Really? We're glad because Chicago is a great town.
We were in Chicago. We had quite some adventures in Chicago, actually.
Yes, we did.
Our son was 2 years old. We had the opportunity to go teach at Mundelein College for Women as part of a master's degree program run by a pretty radical theologian by the name of Matthew Fox. We love Matthew. What a brilliant mind. He's written so many amazing books. And we got to work with him there at Mundelein in Chicago on more than one occasion. And we even taught a term. Taught a course called The Artist as Spiritual Voyager.
Which is who we are in truth. We have been artists as spiritual voyager.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. I guess that is the reality of it. So then again, see, I use that word reality. So what made me say that's the reality of it?
Because we're dealing with it tonight.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. The reality of something, I mean, we say that a lot, but the reality is, which for many people is my point of view. See, the reality is what I think. That's what they're really saying when they say the reality is. That's what I believe it is. For the reality is to that person. I have a friend who points that out to me all the time when I say things in a way that is an absolute. She says, that's what you believe or you think. And I go, you're right, that is. It's what I think and what I believe. And those of us who have been touched by personal realizations tend to think that they're more important than other people's realizations. And that's a stage that I have gone through in my life. And at this point, it's mine. It's all mine, mine to build with, mine to grow with, mine to share. But it's mine.
Really?
Yes.
That's so cool. It's just so cool. Mindfulness. See, that's what it brings me to, that we're talking about is mindfulness. Suggesting that as we increase our awareness of what we're experiencing, beginning to be aware of it on happening more than just the few levels that our senses and our thoughts about what our senses perceive, drum up. And as we allow our awareness to expand out beyond the borders of what our mind can conceive, and the irony, of course, is you can't bring your mind with you to get out there. You have to leave it behind in order to get there. And yet, consciousness will continue with you because we had a special deal where we decided to put the two together. The consciousness and the plane ticket.
Really?
Really.
What I have experienced is that my mind changes. It's sort of like being in a different planet. And all of a sudden, I have to adapt to the gravity and everything else to that planet or something like that. So my mind goes into that planet's gear. In order for all those changes to take place. It's like mind fusion. My mind fuses with the greater reality.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. That's so
yes,
interesting.
It does. I have experienced it, so I tell you that it's true. And it's not the thinking mind that plans and plots. It's the mind that takes in stuff and gives forth stuff. It's so respiratory. It's so well-oiled respiratory in the sense that there's no resistance. It just moves in and out. But the mind becomes very aware of it and is constantly, not figuring out, but adapting and making the changes necessary to keep that flow going.
Really? This is Father O'Meiny. And it's nice to see that the flow is going in and out. And I'd like to point out there and reaffirm your whole point of view about the respiration and how that needs to happen. And the whole universe is set up to respirate. Once again, there's a bit of a hint about what might be reality that can be counted upon. In other words, sure it's when you take your next step. You want to be sure there's going to be something there to meet you when you land right there. And that's why we give thanks for the sources of gravity, for sourcing it up in this whole universe and how it operates and keeping things together like it does.
Really?
Really. So there you have it.
Well, here in this moment, as I breathe in and breathe out and sit at this table in our home at Lupin, that's real for me. There is no reality. Even though I can look out the window of our little cabin and see trees and other houses and right now a car driving up the road, it's real. But were I to look out the other window of this cabin, I would see a totally different reality. Even though I'd be still in this place at this table, I would be seeing a different reality. And they both exist. I think they exist simultaneously. But I can only perceive it from one angle or through one eyesight. I cannot perceive all of the different ways to look at it, places to look at, times to look through.
Right. So in reality, most all of it is a mystery. And what is quote-unquote real is probably the most essential aspect of that mystery.
Really?
Really. I seek to know the basis for interacting with you. Do we find ourselves together because of a common bond? If there is a family of man and we're not blood related, what does unify us and keep us bound for glory? If a common belief holds us as one, what happens if your beliefs change? Will you go apart from me and break our bond asunder? If proximity of space unifies us, what if I move away from you? Will you be lost to me as kin? Do common interests consolidate us so that we must be drawn to similar tastes in order to be as one? Or Is there a commonality that transcends our differences in spite of space, time, and taste? A communal point of reference that remains when all surface ties break down. What is that mysterious element that adheres and binds us as one, unseen, subtle, evanescent? Is there a spiritual magnet that pulls us towards each other? A reality-based adhesive that maintains our eternal union? Can we feel that polar energy uniting our sundry extremes, pulling us into loving embrace by the power of divine energy?
To be like this, to be real, to be real, more than a memory, more than a story.
That was Nicole Nordman singing Real.
And Errol Strider reciting
my poem called Unity. I wrote it many, many years ago, but I was interested to see that it seemed just as relevant to ask those questions today as it did then.
Really? As we were talking about being real, you know, listening to this song, being real, I've heard that a lot in modern day relationships. You know, I like him because I can be real. You know, I like her because she's real. I haven't said anything about the guy other than an observer. I've found myself writing these lines. Let me shed the images adorned by my parents, circumstances, situations, and needs, and step into the unknown where I truly, really exist.
Really?
Really. And I was thinking, there's no considerations in that moment. It's sort of trusting your own power, trusting your own majesty, that you don't have to explain it even to yourself. I'm reading all these books about the royalty, kings and queens of the 12th century.
England.
So few of them questioned their actions. They were so convinced of their majestic being because they were kings or queens. Actually, mostly kings at that time. There weren't any queens. The few that wanted to emerge got a lot of flack because they were women. But nevertheless, I'm not going into that place. What I'm going into is there's certain majesty, if we realize what that was, it's like you act out of that center. You don't have to do things to get the majesty. You are the majestic force that does these things. And that's a reality that's very powerful.
Well, I hear you, little miss. Really, it is. This is Tex Mumford again. And when you talk about that little what you call it there, one of those little nubbles where people kind of hang on the same moment at the same time and they have a cross interconnection between each other and it's like teeing up your ball.
Really? That's what I was talking about?
Wasn't that you?
We do perceive things with different words.
Well, yeah, that's the point I wanted to make, is that we have this opportunity to re-perceive ourselves without the mind actually putting up some kind of prearranged concoction of the various images based upon a variety of memories and reactions to those memories, and twisting the tale of those stories into our memory system, and then reacting that into the present as if any of that was actually real, since it's all gone. So I guess I want to say that what's all gone can't really be real.
Really? I would have to agree with that. Really, I would.
Really?
Yes. I heard this thing the other day on public radio. These people were doing a study of memory, and they concluded that memories are mostly false, especially old memories, because they've been totally influenced by experiences that have come after the actual happening that you think you're remembering. And the bias that takes place around that has subtly, and in some cases, overtly changed that memory a great deal. So it's no longer real.
Really? Muddled by time and circumstances. That's what happens to the memory.
Yes, it's muddled by time and circumstances. And we choose to define ourselves a lot by our memories. This is who I was because I remember that about myself. And now we're in the present. And is that really who we are?
Well, you know, the truth is, I think it's part of the plan. And there is a plan. Song ends with the lyric, "There is no Eden or heavenly gates that you're going to make it to one day, but all of the answers you seek can be found in the dreams that you dream on the way."
Wow.
Sweet.
Yeah, really.
There were a lot of good, interesting lyrics in that song by Dan Fogelberg, Part of the Plan. And I think it throws some perspective on our quest tonight, his chorus, "Love when you can, cry when you have to, but be who you must." That's a part of the plan. And I think that's the bottom line, isn't it? To be who we actually are. And someone might ask, well, what else am I being?
That's right. Really?
Really?
Yeah. Who else are you being in that moment in time?
And how would you know, and what's the distinction?
Well, because there you are. You are.
Really?
Even if the reality of who you are isn't the full reality of who you are, in that moment in time, that's who you are. Even if the who you are is playing a game or playing out images or being a good boy or a bad boy or being whatever, it's who you are in that moment. And until you question that reality, you don't move to another reality. So to me, the movement is necessitated by questioning the reality that I'm in at any given moment in time.
So I want to look at, what does that mean, question it? We talked about having the witness, but I would like just to put in a plug just for a second for the many millions of us who just kind of go about their day and don't ever think about these things, and having this rich and full experience as anybody else, as us and all of that. But some of us are inquisitive and we want to have a philosophy, an ability to meta-think about our life and our circumstances. And we hope that you, listener, are meta-thinking with us tonight about these very things, and that you're as intrigued by the mystery and the various levels in which it wants to show up as I am. Even if you notice sometimes you have an experience which feels more real than other times, that to me is an interesting place to begin.
What is that? More real than other times? Does that mean like you have a definition of real then, if you can say that?
Really? If I could just jump in here with this here conversation, the definition of real is you feel more real. It's a sense kind of knowing. It's when the senses and the knowing get together, they give their kind of blessing or validation. This is real. Maybe that's in fact what a blessing actually is. It's saying, this is real. You are real.
Really?
Really?
I've heard people say, I never felt so real around something. Like when you said senses heightened, I think everything's heightened when you feel that way. Your senses are heightened, but so is your thought patterns. They seem more expanded, more aware of the little subtleties that are around you. And everything's tingling and in accord and harmony with everything. When I feel that way, I feel really real.
Really?
Yes.
That's a delicious feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you able to feel that as you're listening to Rochelle, if you kind of just stop in your seat and just kind of squirm just for a minute?
No, don't do that.
Oh, just a little squirmy.
It'd make me squirmy.
Just some kind of movement to let your body know that it's quite involved in this process, which we're delighted to bring to you, and that is insight out, the naked truth. And we're broadcasting from Lupin Lodge in Los Gatos, where we're going through some amazing transitions. I, for one, was being the lunchtime cook, and now I'm being moved on to some other activity, and I'll know more about that the next time we talk. So there's lots of change here where we live, happening a lot. That's what makes it alive and vital, and it gives me a chance to do one of the things I was most programmed to do. And do you know what that was, Lizzie?
Ponder.
Adapt. Really? To adapt, because it seems to me that as I adapt, anything becomes possible.
And you can't adapt if you're in...
if you're in resistance. I think it's important when we start to realize that, yes, we can. We can, absolutely.
Really?
I know that we can.
I know darn well we can work it out.
Yes, we can. I know we can. Yes, we can. Or why can't we? If we want it, yes, we can.
I know we can make it work. I know we can make it if we try.
Oh, yes, we can. I know we can. Yes, we can.
Great gosh, you're mighty.
Oh, yes, we can. I know we can.
Children of the world, 'cause they are strong, just hope for the future.
of the little bitty boys and girls. We got to
make this land a better land than the world in which we live.
Yeah, we gotta help each man be a better man with the kindness that we give.
I know we can make it.
I know that we can.
I know darn well we can work it out. But if we can, I know we can. If we can, can, or why can't we? If we want it, yes, we can, can.
I know we can make it work. I know that we can make it if we try.
Yes, we can. I know we can. Yes, we can.
Great gosh, almighty.
Yes, we can. I know we can.
Really?
Really?
Pointer Sisters saying, yes, we can. I know we can make it. I know darn well we can work it out. I know we can make it. That's the chorus of that song.
Really?
Really. A possibility has been presented that we can. What does it take to make that real? The manifestation of us, as they say in the song, working it out. Do you have a thought about that, Rochelle?
All I know is that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. I wanted to do that without anything music or anything around it, to really say those words, because I think that is the secret to this can-can stuff.
Really? Do the can-can. We're going to go out on that note. Laughing Heart, sponsoring with Go Raw, Inside Out, The Naked Truth, with yours truly, I can't remember who that is, but
Errol Strider.
Right.
And yours truly, Rochelle Alicia Strider.
So for the sake of time, we're going to let you go, and may this next week be just riddled with incredible activity.
Really?
Really. Remind us again.
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Really?